Third down and three. Bortles in trouble, and he's taken down. It's Clowney. The eighth best red zone touchdown percentage. And Bortles is stuck by Clowney. Osweiler, too high, picked off. Intercepted by Jalen Ramsey. His first NFL interception, and he's still going. Ramsey taken down at the 25. Osweiler in trouble, steps up, now throws, and it's intercepted again. Telvin Smith. Play action. Savage looking for the tight end. Griffin, he's got him in midfield. Pressure coming. Savage gets rid of it. Completes it to Hopkins. Hopkins with another Houston first down. Novak gets this one just a yard into the end zone. So Marquise Lee will take it out with a head of steam. Marquise Lee has room down the sideline. Marquise Lee at the 20. Lee will go 100 yards. Savage out of the shotgun. Throwing sideline, and it's caught by Fuller. What a catch. Savage just gets it off. Savage fires. Caught by Hopkins. Savage. And a first down. Miller, the running back. Miller takes the handoff, and Miller is in. Touchdown, Texans. Tom Savage finishes with 260 yards passing. There's a look at the updated standings in the AFC South. Houston and Tennessee remain tied at the top. 8-6 records. A huge comeback win for Houston.
Yeah, I just, John, I think you've been around me long enough to know that I just try to make decisions in the best interest of the team. Any decision that we make here is always made in the best interest of the team. And at that point in time, I just felt like that was the best decision at that point in time for the team. And I think we've got three really talented quarterbacks here. I really do. And you can call BS on that. You can say whatever you want. I think we have really talented quarterback room. And we don't make decisions on, you know, how much a guy gets paid. We make decisions on how what's the best way to win a game. And that was the decision we made today. And I thought, today it worked out okay.
Well, it's Savage time. That took a while. We'll see how it goes. Let's do this. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Saltgrass Steakhouse in Pearland. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Saltgrass Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, AJ Hoffman, the role model, John Lee, the master back at studio, keeping us on air as we broadcast live from Saltgrass in Pearland.
Yeah,
with great food, and we're going to have fun today. If you want to get in, best way to do it is probably hit us up on Twitter. It's at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at John Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. There's also the Facebook page. Just find the Blitz. You can put your comments on there. Generally don't take phone calls when we're on road trips, but man, I've already
one of those days where it'd probably be only phone calls for the day if we did.
Fred. Yeah, it probably would be.
Awkward scenario today. I got south of downtown and I said something doesn't feel right. Well, forgot my backpack with my laptop and all my the laptop's not the worst thing in the world to happen.
Yeah,
because
phone can.
Yeah, my phone doubles up everything that I go with, so that's easy. But all my live reads, not around. So
that's not good.
Yeah.
Well, you'll make it work.
I'll do my best.
You've only got eight, so it shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, no big deal.
Nothing
no
to it, right?
No big deal.
Yeah, you can do those off the top of your head. Well, you finally have a new quarterback.
Yeah, and I'll say this. I did a couple radio hits this morning, and they said, is it a 100% guarantee that Tom Savage is the quarterback next week? And I said, oh, no. No, because this was in the morning before
right.
the announcement. I said, I you never know with Bill O'Brien. I mean, he could be so stubborn on this that
yeah,
he might say all week, well, I'm not sure who it's going to be, and we got two guys who are both great. Turns out he thinks they've got three guys that are great in that quarterback room. So
it says it's okay to call BS on him. So
and so I will. Yeah, that's BS. You actually have no good quarterbacks on the team, but that's okay.
Yeah,
that's okay. At least he's figured out that Brock Osweiler is not a good quarterback. And, you know, I think you and I have been saying this for a long time. Let's at least see what they've got in Tom Savage. Because at this point, there's no way Tom Savage can be worse than Brock Osweiler. Brock Osweiler is worse than Brian Hoyer and Ryan Mallett were. We would have thought that that was impossible, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But he is. He's worse than those guys. Thus, I mean, it's got – how many more levels can you go south in the NFL? I mean, there can't be that many guys in the league worse than what Osweiler's been this year if they were given that many snaps.
Yeah.
So they go ahead and make the move. And listen, I'm not a Tom Savage truther. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that this is the answer and he's going to be the starting quarterback next year and this is the guy who suddenly makes the Texans good enough to win playoff games. I don't believe that. I think Tom Savage is a nice NFL backup quarterback, which is exactly what Brock Osweiler is, except Brock Osweiler just makes a ridiculous amount of money. Is Tom Savage the answer for the Texans the next 2-3 weeks? He has to be, I think.
Yeah.
Because he is the best option that they have. Now, whether or not what they do to address this problem next year, I feel like we're a few weeks away from figuring that out. But I still think it's going to need to be addressed because you're going to have a $17 million backup one way or the other.
Right.
Whether it's Tom Savage in here starting games next year or a rookie or somebody you bring in, that's yet to be seen. But Tom Savage, he was good enough to win the game yesterday. I don't think they won it on Tom Savage's back. I think the defense stiffened up. I think that the run game was better when he was in there. I really think the offense just looked a little more peppy with him in there. So I think that
I think they felt less hopeless.
I think maybe that's the answer. So I got to say it was a good decision on Bill O'Brien's part, but I don't want to give him a bunch of credit because that decision should have been made 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Well, yeah, and frankly, because Tennessee went in and got a win that you didn't think there was any chance they were going to get.
Oh, this is a live race.
Yeah, you're going to have to – basically, it's going to come down to you're going to have to beat them in Tennessee, so you better have some offense.
Yeah.
And you know, that's a team that's now beaten Denver and Kansas City back-to-back.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. So I think
they've beaten two teams that are better than the Texans.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that
– and I'm guessing that they'll make lighter work of Jacksonville than Houston did.
Well, the old fired coach thing, though.
You never know.
But, yeah, right. I expect them to go in there and win. Although Gus Bradley, that's what it finally took, was Gus Bradley losing to the Texans with a 13-0 lead.
And he still took the charter home.
Yeah, he did. Well, what are you going to do? You don't make him take another airplane. That'd be kind of that would kind of suck. But we were joking last week about Jeff Fisher and how it would take 6 years of 0-16 from Bill Belichick and he'd still have a better win percentage. Do you know how many years of 0-16 it would take for Bill Belichick to have still have a better winning percentage than Gus Bradley? Want to take a wild guess?
I guess it's more than six because
significantly, yes.
He's had much less success than Jeff Fisher. I mean,
try 41 years.
Oh my!
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
Of 0-16, so worst percentage in NFL history for a guy who coached that many games. So. Nice guy, and I don't think he's a bad football coach.
No, I think he's a nice guy to have a coordinator.
But he's a bad head coach. And so Dustin the Wind.
Here's what's interesting about that whole thing is they gave the vote of confidence for Blake Bortles yesterday, which means that the question becomes, if you're a head coach, you're looking to take that job, do you want that job knowing that they want to keep Blake Bortles as the starting quarterback? Because I got to be honest. As long as Blake Bortles is their starter, I think you're very limited on how many games you can win there.
They came out and said that nobody is safe today, and that it'll be up to the new coach. But I don't see any way that you pick up this guy's option for next year because it's going to be Osweiler money.
Yeah,
and yeah, you know,
the GM who just fired this coach has a lot of egg on his face because clearly they thought very highly of Blake Bortles given his draft position.
Yeah, well, and At the time, I thought that was way too high for him to go. I thought there were better quarterbacks that went later in the draft, and that's been borne out. So the thing is, even though the Texans had they barely won that game, almost everything that had to happen for Jacksonville to stay in it happened. Osweiler gives them 10 points right off the bat.
Yep.
They get a kickoff return, which, man, at what point are they going to – I know they got a new special teams coach, but that special teams have been a disaster
for years and years and years.
And it doesn't matter who they hire. It just – somehow they need to figure out what they're doing wrong there because it's just an absolute mess.
While I'd like to say that Osweiler gave them 10 points right off the bat, I think their first-round draft pick gave up some of those points because that's a throw – that's not a horrible throw that Osweiler made to Will Fuller.
No.
He hits him in both his hands, and he can't hold on to it.
That's what you expect out of Will Fuller.
Yeah, Will Fuller gave them those points. And, you know, what he is, I think he's still a very raw project. And we can go back to 3 weeks into the season where everyone was telling me how stupid I was for not wanting to draft Will Fuller. And now suddenly you're starting to see why I didn't think he was a first-round draft pick. And who knows? Maybe he'll turn into one. But right now he's just a guy out there. Their offense has so many problems down to, you know, getting all the way down to the offensive line. And, you know, we saw they did use Akeem Hunt a little bit more yesterday.
And then he started fumbling on us.
And then he fumbles. And they kind of get lucky because there's no clear recovery. I mean,
yeah, or you could argue it was a little unlucky too because he did recover the fumble.
Yeah,
and should have had that for a touchdown. Then they wind up throwing a fade on fourth and inches. And what the hell?
Yeah, which that goes back to coaching. There's nobody on that, nobody in that huddle that I'm going to blame for them making that call on fourth and inches. So the team, this is where I feel like we've been in this spot all year long. The team wins. I still feel maybe even less confident about their playoff chances than I did on Saturday. The Titans are better than this team. I don't think the Texans are going to beat the Titans. Now, could it happen? Of course. The Titans could lose to the Jags. But I think the Titans, the way they've played in the second half of the season, they're just a better team than the Texans.
Yeah, I would have thought that about the Colts too, and somehow they went in there and won that game because. That Colts team yesterday.
They looked they sandwiched a crappy performance against the Texans against two amazing performances offensively.
Yeah, and maybe I got to give a little credit to the Texans defense for that.
You should.
And that's why that game went the way it did.
That's why the Texans exist right now is because their defense is keeping them in games. And their defense is making them look like it's sometimes a good football team when the reality is their offense is so bad that it's hard to consider them one.
Well, and your only hope here is that you get better play out of the quarterback position. It doesn't have to be great play. It doesn't have to be, you know, Pro Bowl level play. It just needs to be better than what you were getting. And if you could do that, and your defense keeps playing well, you should be all right. And you know, we'll see. I think it's gonna come down to that last game, and that's about all you can ask for is get the last game of the season, and you got a chance to win.
Have a puncher's chance.
Win the division. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, guys, I'm going to tell you about Man's Best Friend. I actually got a call from a buddy today asking about my experience with Man's Best Friend, and I've had three dogs go there, and all three have come back just way better parts of the family than they were when I left them there. Man's Best Friend, they do this great thing where you sit down with somebody, you sit down with an instructor, you say, these are the things I want to work on my dog with, and they write them down, they go in, and that's what they work on with your dog. And when your dog comes back, all those things are knocked out. They do boarding, they do training, they do grooming, they do it all at Man's Best Friend. And if you tell them that you heard about them here on ESPN 97.5 or you tell them that AJ told you, you'll get 30% off your services. And right now you can go to ESPN975.com and register to win for a $250 gift card or for a puppy Christmas package, which is valued at $400. We're giving away both of those this month on ESPN975.com. That's Man's Best Friend, mansbestfriend.com. Man's Best Friend is the professional difference in dog training. Remember to mention AJ or ESPN 97.5 for your 30% off.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow. Live from the Saltgrass Steakhouse in Pearland. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live at Saltgrass in Pearland. Where Q Demps will be joining us at 6 o'clock to talk about that victory and his game-ending interception. Sawgrass, 25 years.
The clincher.
Yeah, that was the nail in Gus Bradley's coffin, as it were. Sawgrass, 25 years of perfection, 61 locations and growing. Start a new tradition this Christmas at Sawgrass Steakhouse. Most locations are going to be open from 11 till 4 p.m., 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Christmas. The menu will feature certified Angus bread steaks, seafood, and chicken entrees. Make your reservations today. If you don't feel like cooking, this is the place to do it. Somebody just texted and asked, do you like Tulsa minus 13.5 tonight? Unfortunately, that game already started. And,
it was an afternoon game.
Yeah, and
we told them about that
last week, yeah. And I feel bad because I didn't put it in my write-up, and I forgot to tweet it out today, but I've been tied up trying to buy a place, so I've been real busy. So I apologize for that. I bet it. And it's 54-3 right now, so... do you guys think Bob McNair smartly lets Bill and Brock go in the off season? No, you can't do
nope.
You can't get rid of him until 2018. You're stuck with him for next year. He's going to be a backup.
You could get rid of Bill O'Brien, but they won't.
You could. No, they're not. He's got the.
We saw way worse things out of Gary Kubiak, and he stayed around a lot longer.
Yeah.
So.
And the thing is, Brian's still not going to have a losing record.
Yep.
And while the team hasn't taken that step that you'd like to see it take, yeah, you know, I don't know, man. It's just he's not going anywhere. Osweiler's not going anywhere. He's going to be a really expensive giraffe-looking backup on your sidelines. The worst part is Savage has never been healthy.
No.
So even if he comes out and plays well, there's a chance you're going to have Osweiler right back out there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I know the fans will love that.
And then what's the contract situation with Tom Savage?
I think he's under contract one more year. I'll have to double-check that.
Okay.
But which would be okay because if he winds up being your starter, then he'd still be on the cheap. But I don't know, man. I think they're.
I don't think you can go through a full season with Tom Savage as your starter and feel comfortable about
that. No, no. And have Brock Osweiler be your backup.
Yeah, I mean,
you don't even want him to be
in
your
a bad
backup
situation
now.
At that point.
This is, yeah, it's just a. It's unfortunate they gambled and clearly it didn't work. And now.
And that's why anyone who's saying. Maybe O'Brien wanted to play Savage earlier, but the GM and the owners were pressuring him to keep with Osweiler. Now, this Osweiler is the guy that Bill O'Brien pointed at and said, "This is the guy I want." That's his handpicked guy. So there's no O'Brien wanted to sit him a long time ago, and ownership wouldn't let him. That's the guy that Bill O'Brien is tied to. He picked him. So I don't want to hear that.
And there's that smartest guy in the room thing again. It's like, well, we can get him to be better than he was.
Yeah.
Under Gary Kubiak. Well, that's not working out. And
in fact, he's significantly worse than he was under Gary Kubiak, which is another should be another red flag to Texans ownership. Is, you know, Gary Kubiak, who wasn't great with quarterbacks here, he got a lot more out of your guy than you did. And what should make you feel good about Rick Smith is. They got him for a lot less money than you did.
Yep.
So it's just the Texans are still a mess, Fred. They're still a mess.
They are, and yet they put themselves in position to win the division. And that's, you know, that's part of the thing is you look at where they are, and there's a lot of teams that would love to be in this situation, and that's with the worst quarterback situation in the league.
Yeah.
So, and in the end, I think it would have been better for everybody if Osweiler had stayed in Denver because the production he gave them, the team probably still makes the playoffs if he's there. And that looks like they're going to miss the playoffs right now.
Yeah.
And he comes here, and he's an absolute joke.
Although they would have still been overpaying for him. I mean,
yeah, well, they had
Denver's happy they got out of that, whatever the case.
Yeah.
They drafted their quarterback of the future, they think. Barring a couple games where he was injured, they've been able to let him kind of marinate. And hopefully, for them anyway, hopefully next year he'll be ready to go.
Yeah, you would hope. And I think he's going to be a good fit for that offense. Trying to look up. Tom Savage is, yes, under contract through 2017.
Okay.
So, yeah, you'll basically have him on the roster next year for almost nothing. And if he winds up being your starter, well, it makes up for the fact that you paid all that money to the other guy.
Yeah. I mean, your quarterback, the pool of money for your quarterback is all going to.
Yeah, it's going to a guy that doesn't deserve it, but that's life.
That sucks.
And
maybe Tom Savage will get some money elsewhere.
Yeah, maybe he plays well enough. 713-780-ESPN, MVPS. What do you think about Clowney's performance, and what do you think the D will look like next year if Watt recovers completely? I think Clowney's been terrific. And once again, they were missing a bunch of guys on that defense yesterday. And he's just become very disruptive. And I think at some point, if you have both those guys back and Watt's healthy, then you're just going to be that much better. That's what they envisioned all along, was having those two guys opposite each other. And that's just going to make your defense that much better. And the way that, you know, he didn't play yesterday, but the way that Merciless has developed, Bernardrick McKinney has turned into a really good interior linebacker, as long as you don't ask him to cover people. They've got some pretty good players on that defense to build around. And, you know, if Watt comes back healthy next year, they're already, top three in defense right now. Get that guy back. And, you know, Kevin Johnson's another guy that could be a pretty good impact player for you if he can stay healthy. Although, I wonder about him long-term being healthy, because he just has that.
He's got a frame that's built to be hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what you're looking for.
He looks like he's a broken leg waiting to happen.
He's not the prototype cornerback that teams look for now. He's not a big body. Most of the guys that people are looking at corners now, specifically in the first round, are guys that almost look like safeties.
Yeah.
I mean, they're 6'3", and they run 4.4s, 4.5s. That's what people look for now, and that's not him.
Chase, I know it's not Wednesday, but what are the odds Osweiler wins back the starting job by the end of next season? I guarantee you, before next season is up, he's going to be back out there, and it's probably going to be because of injury. But if Savage sucks, they'll probably go back to him.
Yeah.
So I think there's a real good chance you see the guy.
And I got to be honest, there's a real good chance that Savage sucks in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, keep in mind, this is the Jaguars that he was doing this
and
against.
And he barely led them to a comeback against a team that's won two games. You know, the Bengals aren't great, but the Bengals are a lot more talented than Jacksonville. And Tennessee is clearly better than Jacksonville. Tennessee might be better than you. So it's going to be, you know, it's not going to be easy for Tom Savage to show he belongs. I don't want you to suddenly think that you've struck gold. And I know that's what everybody thinks is, oh, we finally have a quarterback. No, you finally have a quarterback who's better than the crappy quarterback that you had. Because let's not forget last year when everyone was super sad about, oh, Hoyer, Mallett, these guys. And before that, everyone was super excited that they got Ryan Mallett. Oh, look at this. It's Mallett time.
Always the devil you don't know.
And then it's like, oh, well, maybe Ryan Mallett sucks, turns out.
Then when you know the devil.
Right. Yeah. And then it's like, oh, Brock and roll. Look what we finally got the quarterback that we've been. And then Brock Osweiler sucks. So now you think, well, now we've got a quarterback. You don't know that. You've got a different guy. And I honestly don't know if Tom Savage is a significant upgrade from Brock Osweiler long term. Yesterday it worked out. But I don't believe that Tom Savage is a starting quarterback in the NFL. So I think that this is continuing to be like you're taking off a Band-Aid and putting another Band-Aid on.
You're putting a Band-Aid
on a bullet wound.
On a JFK head wound.
I mean, this is a... The quarterback position has been a legitimate bullet hole for the Texans since Schaub started throwing touchdowns to the other team. And all they've done is put Band-Aid after Band-Aid after Band-Aid on it. And this time, instead of buying like the CVS brand Band-Aids, they went big time. They bought the Band-Aid brand that had Smurfs or some kind of characters on them. And it had the ointment that's supposed to make it better. And they paid the premium for it, Fred. It was like an extra $3 a box. But it's still a Band-Aid on top of a bullet hole, and it didn't work. And this Tom Savage is just another Band-Aid. I mean, this can't be a long-term solution.
No, but at this point, it doesn't need to be a long-term solution. It needs to be a short-term solution.
It needs to last him
3-4 weeks.
Three games, let's be honest.
Yeah, but... realistically, that's what you're hoping for, is that you don't waste this defensive effort that you're getting, and that you get enough offense to at least get to the playoffs.
That's right. All right, guys. Christmas right around the corner. This year, go with a win-win. Something's going to make her happy. Something's going to make you happy. It's the super warm, world-famous Hoodie Footy from Pajamagram. Let's face it, it's hard to get her hot when she's feeling cold, and the Hoodie Footy is the ultimate solution. You can find all the Hoodie Footy styles at Pajamagram.com, including this year's exclusive mink chocolate Hoodie Footy. Imagine getting that, open that up on Christmas. Open up that Hoodie Footy, and maybe underneath you find a sexy Midnight Fantasy. And if you offer the Sweet and Sexy gift set, you can get both of those, a Hoodie Footy and a Midnight Fantasy. You buy both today at Pajamagram.com, you'll save $60 just like that. You don't have to gift wrap because every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging. Christmas delivery is guaranteed. Visit Pajamagram.com or call 1-800-GIVE-PJs. Tell them AJ Hoffman with ESPN 97.5 sent you.
The Blitz.
Oh, that sounds great.
On ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Saltgrass Steakhouse in Pearland. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, 713-780-ESPN. If you want to text the show, somebody says, do we know for a fact that Osweiler's O'Brien's guy? There have been reports that contradict that. And then he sent me that same old story that said that they never met with him beforehand. Those are league rules. You can't meet with players on other teams before.
Restricted free agents.
Well, any free agent you can't meet with until that time frame. And now you could argue that they should have met with him before they signed him, but they identified him as their guy. And, you know, whether or not – but that doesn't contradict that report at all, that it was O'Brien's guy. I mean, he looked at him and said, hey, I can win with this guy. I can make him better. This is a quarterback I want.
That's what he got.
And it didn't work out. And – yeah, you know, that part they are going to be dealing with for a while. And I think in the end, if you can get a cheap quarterback who plays well for you, then you're okay.
Essentially what you did was you made the Ryan Mallett gamble again, just with bigger terms. I mean, it was for bigger stakes.
Yeah, in reality, for 1 year, if you make that mistake,
it's not the end of the world.
No, but for 2 years, it is going to be punitive next year, and you're going to have to figure out some way to make it work at quarterback. You're not going to be able to go get – there's no way you can take on another big salary at that position now is what it amounts
right.
to. So, like, if you wanted to be in the Tony Romo sweepstakes, there's no chance.
You can't.
Because – so you're going to have to find whether it's go trade a high pick for Jimmy Garoppolo or whether it's try to live with Tom Savage. Those are going to be your options.
None of those sound good, though.
No, none of those are, because who knows? Garoppolo is probably going to wind up being the same thing. And
maybe the answer is the answer is to trade for Christian Hackenberg.
Oh, God. If that guy can't get on the field for the Jets,
listen,
ought to tell you something.
Yeah.
They're happy that Bryce Petty's not hurt worse than he is, because otherwise you'd have to get Hackenberg.
Poor Bryce Petty, by the way.
Well, yeah,
what a
that was pretty ugly.
Dude, you know he just wanted to quit about three quarters through that game. Just like, let's just pack up and go home. We've had enough.
What quarterback should they have gotten instead? You guys were saying they got the best available when they signed Brock. I said they gambled on something that they needed to gamble on.
I was glad they made a play and actually tried to do something.
But There were names out there 2 years ago that both of us thought they should have gone for, and there's no use reliving that because they didn't. But
yeah, I did say they made the right call by going after a quarterback. Is Osweiler? No one knew what Osweiler was. I did like that they made a ballsy play though, and I gave them credit for that. It was a ballsy play. It didn't work.
No, it didn't. And yeah, you would at least you know now that. All right, he'll be here next year, and you can start planning for the following year and keep looking for your quarterback.
Well, and the good news is, I mean, this is a draft where quarterbacks aren't worth a damn anyway, so the fact that you're going to go 9-7 or 8-8 or whatever you're going to go.
You're not going to miss out on
anybody.
You're
not going to miss out on anybody special. I think it's
– let the Jets go make that next
mistake.
Yeah,
let somebody else do that.
And, yeah. Probably just want to hear you guys take on Leonard Fournette and McCaffrey skipping the bowl game and dudes like Herb Street and Connell losing their bleep and crying on Twitter over it.
I don't mind it.
I don't either.
I'm good with that, especially in situations where the bowl game doesn't matter. And honestly, Christian McCaffrey's playing in the Sun Bowl. I mean, who cares?
Right.
In Christian McCaffrey's long term, playing in the Sun Bowl is going to be pretty low down the list, I would think. So,
okay. People get mad at me when I say this, but almost all of the bowl games are absolutely meaningless, and that's one of the reasons why, from a betting perspective, you get some weird results sometimes because some teams care, some teams don't. If the bowl games meant that much to anybody, would Tom Herman already be at Texas, or would he have been in Las Vegas this week if it were important? And Willie Taggart, I mean, anybody, any of these guys who've left for a better job.
There are two bowl games that really matter. You can maybe throw a third.
I might throw the Rose Bowl.
The Rose Bowl, those guys take that game pretty seriously. But every other game is it's an exhibition game.
Right.
You know, there's nothing to be gained from it. And you might say, oh, well, recruits watch it. Okay. Well, Christian McCaffrey's not worried about who Stanford recruits now.
Yeah.
That's not his problem.
There are times, like I think when Texas played in the Rose Bowl that year, that helped recruiting.
Of course.
That was a high-profile game, and Vince went off.
The Sun Bowl is not a high-profile game ever.
No. And if coaches are going to walk off anytime they want, players should have the right to do the same thing. And I have no problem with Fournette not playing or McCaffrey playing. If I'm Myles Garrett, I don't know if I play.
He's been beat up all year,
and you're playing the Texas Bowl. I think go look at that kid from Notre Dame last year.
Jalen Smith. Would have been a first-round pick.
Yeah. And instead, he's going to miss at least a year of his career.
And he's making chump change. Yeah. No guaranteed money. Chump change. And if he does ball out, he's still going to be making chump change.
So if anybody who's critical of them I would just say he's being a little bit ridiculous and hypocritical.
Yeah. Now, if these kids had something to play for, they had a championship to play for, that's a different topic.
You're talking about the playoff game. Yeah, you're not skipping a playoff game.
And
you're there to play for a championship.
I don't think Christian McCaffrey or Leonard Fournette, either one, would have skipped a playoff game.
No.
But this is a fun game for the fans. And, you know, these guys have all given their time to the fans. These guys, they're worried about making their money now.
They're
making their living. I don't blame them one bit.
But these people going around calling them selfish, that's just, to me, that's ridiculous. And Fournette's been beat up all year.
Yeah.
I mean, why aggravate an injury when, you know, this is going to be the biggest stretch of your life coming up getting ready for this combine, because however he does there is going to dictate whether he goes top 5, top 15, and that's a lot of money. He needs to take care of himself. Same thing with McCaffrey.
These guys are first-round picks.
Yeah.
I mean, and if either one of them were to hurt themselves, you blow an ACL as a running back, you're not getting drafted. You're not going to get drafted. Who's the kid? Marcus Lattimore.
Yeah.
Remember him, how awesome he was?
Oh, man. I thought he was going to be the next superstar.
He got hurt. Somebody eventually took a chance on him. It didn't work out. All that does is it's in the negative columns. Do we even want to use a fourth-round pick on this guy now?
Right.
Probably not.
Yeah, because Lattimore was a second-round pick, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. I mean, and so running backs, once they blow that ACL, I mean, you've got a few. Adrian Peterson's a superhuman. There's one Adrian Peterson in the whole world. So these other guys, everything falls off for them. You know, and you tear that thing once, it starts to happen again. Trust me, I know this from experience as someone who's on ACL number 3. Once you burn through one, it's not the same. So I don't blame these guys one bit.
832 says the ones that are calling them selfish are, in fact, selfish themselves.
Yeah.
They have nothing to play for in life like these kids do. Yeah, what does Kirk Herbstreit gain?
I don't get it.
Yeah, Danny Cannell. It's like, yeah, I get you wish he probably could still be playing, but you guys weren't going to go that high in the draft. I had to break it to you. But Chase mentioned Clinton Portis and that injury in the national championship. Was it Portis that got hurt?
Willis McGahee,
yeah.
That's playing for a championship. I don't blame him.
Right.
And Willis McGahee still went in the first round, but that's not going to happen anymore.
Yeah.
Because the value of running backs – from when Willis McGahee was drafted, which, by the way, Willis McGahee would have been a top 5 pick, and instead he goes like 23rd or something like that. And the value of running backs is not what it once was. I mean, you have to be a special running back to go in the top 5 anymore.
Yeah, and not just running backs, though. I think any of these guys, I'd be okay with them sitting out. Like I said, if I'm Myles Garrett, man, I don't really see what you gain being in the Texas Bowl for a guy who was hurt all year. And I know he wants to play, and he said he's going to play, but is that really wise? That's a guy who's going to be a top 10 pick for sure. And, you know, you don't want to see kids get hurt in games that don't mean a damn thing. I mean, they're fun to watch. They're fun to go to if it's your school, but they don't mean anything. So, 713-780-ESPN, if you wish to text the show. It says, with those guys skipping the bowls, I'm against their team in my confidence pick with a pretty high number. Is that smart or stupid? I think in both cases, those teams are pretty good anyway.
Well,
let's
also
loaded running back.
Yeah, LSU always has running backs.
Yeah.
Let's also keep in mind, has Leonard Fournette been what you expected him to be this season?
No.
Has Christian McCaffrey been what you expected him to be this season? Were either one of them the Heisman finalists that they were a year ago?
No. How much impact did they really have this year?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to affect it too much.
All right, guys. Got to tell you about Houston Can Academies. This is a school that takes in kids that have dropped out of other schools for a lot of reasons. These are good kids that just had some difficulties. Well, Houston Can Academies works with them. Gives these kids a second chance, and so many of them go on and graduate and do great things. And that's why this time of year especially is the time of giving. It's time for you to donate that vehicle you're not using anymore, because that's going to help them take care of these kids. And it can be a car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, tractor. Doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in. Maybe you were going to fix it up. Maybe you were going to trade it in. It's just been sitting there. Well, if you donate it now, they're going to come and tow it free of charge, process all the paperwork. It's fast and easy. And that donation's tax deductible, and tax season is almost here, so it's your last chance to get a nice tax deduction before the end of the year. And if you can hear my voice, they'll come and tow it free of charge. Doesn't matter where you are. Give them a call, 713-225-4226. That's 713-225-4226. Or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Make sure you tell them you heard about it on the Blitz. Right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5.
Around out there, you probably have a car payment. It's just a reality. Well, guess what? What if we could reduce that payment? What if your $700 payment could be $600? It's $100 a month in savings. And you know why you can do that? Because car dealers make most of their profit on your loan by marking up your rate. Sometimes they'll mark your rate up 2 to 3 points over what you really qualify for. That can mean $2,000 or $3,000 in interest you're paying out on your loan that's pure dealer profit. That money shouldn't go to them. That money should be in your pocket. And thanks to SlashMyPayments.com, the great team over at Ignition Financial is going to help you do just that.
That's right, guys. It's so easy, and it doesn't cost you a thing. That's the best part about it. It's just the dealer is going to stop making that money off of you, and you're going to have more cash in your pocket. That's what everybody's looking for. Refinance your current auto loan at SlashMyPayments.com. Simple and easy. Takes just a couple minutes to apply. SlashMyPayments.com. Enter our promo code BLITZ at the top of the application, and you are on your way to saving money. With approved credit, other exclusions and or restrictions may apply. That's SlashMyPayments.com.
Who knew you'd be hated for?
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Did you, JK just tweeted this to us. Did you see Skip Bayless got caught praising himself?
So great.
Is anybody shocked by that at all? No kidding. If you didn't see it, he was basically, I guess it was a Facebook live stream where he was using a different name to go on and say nice things about himself, but he forgot to sign off.
Whoops.
And so he just put it on his actual thing about how much he loves the show and how he's the man. That's pretty pathetic for a guy who's gotten that far in his career, gets paid that much to have to go and do something like that. So,
yeah, not a great look.
No. Nope.
But he is what he is. This is no surprise.
713-780-3776. You see any possibility that Brock sits for however many games the Texans have left this year in a next year spring training? You know, with that money, can he turn things around? I think at this point, him turning things around seems pretty unlikely. I think we've seen enough games. He's gotten worse. And I don't know if that's him or the coaches, but he's gotten worse. And his best game was probably his first one. And since then, it's been all downhill. So maybe sitting and watching will help him. Maybe he'll pick up some things while he's there. But I think realistically, his days as a starting quarterback are done.
Yeah.
And unless somebody gets hurt, and I don't see him jumping back in and winning the job.
DOC says, Jalen Smith, 4 years, $6.5 million, 2.9 signing bonus, only chump change if you live in River Oaks. Chump change in comparison to what he would have made. Joey Bosa, who was drafted right around the same time Jalen Smith would have been drafted, 4 years, just under $30 million.
Yeah.
So there's a pretty big difference, man. There is a big difference. So, chump change for professional athletes is all relative, all right? I mean, but compared to what he would have made, he's making chump change.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and again, he was – they gambled to take him where they did.
Yeah.
Or else he would have lost a lot more money.
I do want to congratulate Brock Osweiler.
Yes.
According to reports from TMZ.com, he and his wife are pregnant.
Oh.
Brock's wife, Erin, is pregnant with a little girl due in April. They got married back in 2015 before he signed for the money. So congratulations to Brock. It's been a rough weekend, but I mean, I guess he's unknown about this for some time, but they've announced it publicly now. Maybe he said, well, it's hard to talk too much trash about a guy who's got a new baby coming, right? Baby girl.
I'm sure he'll – you know what? That's a lot more important.
That's right.
Really.
Plus, you got some money.
Yeah, and you get a little baby.
Right.
You get a little baby giraffe back up in a few years.
That's going to be a nice gift for his wife when she pushes that baby out. He's got a lot of money to throw at her, so it's good.
Yeah.
What do they call that? A push present?
Yeah, I think that's what they call that.
Push present.
713-7.
If they get a C-section, do you still get that for them? You have to, right?
Yeah, you pretty much have to because they're getting chopped up on your behalf.
That's too bad.
So
that's too bad.
Philip asks, any chance Savage can be a great quarterback? I honestly, I think, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, I think he's better than what you got. But as far as great, you know.
First of all, I don't think he can stay healthy enough to be a great quarterback.
That's the thing. One thing about Brock, even though he was bad, he was out there every single week.
I think coming into yesterday, the number of snaps Savage had taken to the number of injuries, that was a pretty low ratio. I mean, you're talking about the guy, every time he went on the field, he got hurt.
Yeah, well, remember, I guess it was 2 years ago when he got out there. It was like one play.
Yeah.
It was like one or two plays against the Colts. And
he's done for the season.
For the year. And last year, done for the year in preseason. So he's been pretty brittle. And you always say this, your best quarterbacks are the guys who are durable and can go out there every week. And that he has to prove. And then, oh, by the way, he has to be able to play, too. Do a
and
little
again,
more.
We don't know how good he is. He didn't blow up the world yesterday. It's not like he was.
No, he was effective against the Jaguars.
Yes, who are one of the worst teams in football.
Who had gone, a month or so without an interception before Osweiler threw him too.
Yeah.
So, and Wayne says Brock won't learn anything on the bench. He spent a few years behind Peyton and didn't learn. Yeah, well, again, there's. I'm just looking for anything.
Who knows? It's probably a giant waste of money is what it is. But what are you going to do?
713-780-ESPN if you want to text the show. 713-780-3776. And we'll get to all the other games here in the 5 o'clock hour.
Yeah, also talked to Alex Morano at 515 who got himself a win in the UFC over this weekend. A hard-fought win, a unanimous decision where I don't know how the guy stayed standing.
Yeah.
Alex didn't have the best first round, and the second and third round, he tried to murder this guy, and that guy took everything he had and was still standing at the end. So, but Alex getting a win. Sage Northcutt not getting a win over Mickey Gall. So, yeah. Maybe a bit, maybe the hype train is slowing to a halt. I don't know. But either way, it's a split weekend for the Houston guys, but Alex Morano did very well over the weekend.
Kyle says his wife is having a C-section on the 17th. Her present was a new stove. Win-win for me.
Yeah, that's a double.
Are you super excited about the new stove?
Well, I mean, she's going to cook for him.
Maybe. Can she cook, though?
Well, I don't know. You'd have to I'd have to answer that. But
that's what a romantic gesture.
Yeah.
I've got you a new way to make me sandwiches. Thank you. Make mine a grilled panini, please.
That sounds like a Hoffman move, actually.
Yeah.
So, and Chris said he learned to talk to the press from Peyton. There's that.
Oh, there you
he
go.
Always had those great speeches.
Yeah.
So
he actually took it pretty well yesterday. Yeah. I mean,
I think he saw it coming.
He had to have. And, again, that first interception, I'm not going to put that all on him. That's a catchable ball. Is it perfect? No.
Well, it's a catchable ball for a guy with hands. If you throw that up there to Hopkins, he probably comes down with it.
Yeah.
Fuller, not so much.
Although, who knows if Hopkins even jumps for it. He might just
right.
reach his hand up and hope.
Yeah.
He seems so disinterested at this point. But, he jumped up, the ball hit him in both his hands, and it went through his hands and got intercepted. The second one, I can't picture a scenario where you make that throw. I don't know how you're reading that and don't see the guy coming underneath, and you step up in that. I was like, wow, he looked nice.
Yeah.
He stepped up into the pocket. He's making an athletic play, and then he lets go of that ball. And it's when you watch the replay and you see where he was, where the guy who intercepted the ball was. It's like, dude, how could you even think to throw that ball?
I can't imagine what he was seeing there, because that the receiver was blanketed. There was no place to put it where it was going to get to your guy.
No.
There was just a zero chance of completing that pass.
And the best was the immediate drop to the knees and put the helmet in the hands, like, oh, what have I done? Well, you've gotten yourself benched, sir. That'll do.
Yeah, that was a killer. And you can't do that. That was the only way they were going to lose that game was turn the ball over.
Yeah.
And then screw up on special teams. And there you go. That gave them every chance to win the game. But the thing is, the Jags are still the Jags. They're still going to step on their own stuff every time. And holding in the end zone on a punt for a safety.
Oh.
And that kind of stuff is just losing football. That's what losing teams do. They come up with stuff like that. And even though the Texans couldn't get in the end zone again, that's something we've kind of overlooked a little bit. Jags couldn't win the game.
Their broken down kicker looked all right. I mean, even though he can barely walk, he still
yeah.
made some field goals. I'll take that.
You think he was Hollywooding it a little bit?
I don't know. He's over on the trainer's table. How often do you see the kicker on the trainer's table during a football game?
Yeah.
Like getting massaged. That doesn't seem to happen very
often. Yeah, and it obviously affected him a little bit, because when he kicked off on the return, he didn't get it but about a yard deep, which, you know, didn't help. But, my goodness, they're special teams. They're good for one time a game where you look at it and go, what the hell? Is anybody coaching these guys?
No.
713-780-ESPN, if you wish to text the show. What was that, John?
He wants me to tell you about attorney Gary Trichter, Fred. Listen, they're using these no-refusal weekends more and more often, the police are, and that means they can force you to take a breath test. They can force you to take a blood test. And there's a lot of things about those tests you should know about. The science behind them is pretty faulty. The breath test, for instance, it takes your breath evidence, then it destroys the evidence that it checked, making proving your innocence impossible, and it makes artificially high results. The blood test, it's not testing your actual blood like a doctor would do. It's a very indirect, very circumstantial test for alcohol. And that's where attorney Gary Trichter comes in, guys. He is a DWI specialist, one of only four board-certified DWI specialists in the state. And what that specialist term means is that he's experienced in telling the truth about these tests to juries. He's experienced in doing it in a trial setting. A lot of DWI lawyers will take your case. Very few have actual trial experience. Gary Trichter has a ton of it. He's not going to go in there and plead guilty and hope that the judge goes easy on you. That's not the way he works. If you failed the breath or blood test, DWI or DUI, call attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone at 713-524-1010 or visit TexasDWILaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for attorney Gary Trichter.
This is is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.